cliffcentral.com.
Yeah. Morning, happy Valentine's Day, February the 14th. Woohoo!
Isn't that nice?
It's amazing, Gareth. It's very, very nice. How are you feeling today
in the Cape Town?
Very, very well, thank you. Sounding good and healthy and clear on that side.
Yeah, let's go with clear. I don't know if healthy is a word we can throw around here too readily.
Oh, no, not with you lot. Sorry. I thought, did I sound clear and healthy?
Yes, Gareth, we're talking as a collective. It's not just about you. But yesterday it actually was. So how was the espresso? No, it wasn't espresso.
Afternoon Express.
Sorry, there's too many shows. I can't. Gareth, how was your afternoon chat? That's what I was getting at.
It was very good. It was actually a lot of fun. I mean, I sat there like a lummox for 45 minutes of it, but for the 15 minutes they interviewed me and we did stuff. It was fun.
Okay. And did you eat the food afterwards?
No. But they all did, so it must be good. I don't like anything with ricotta cheese in it. It's not, you know, I'm fussy about the kind of cheese I eat. I eat two kinds of cheese. You know me, like pizzas. I'm very, very straightforward about these things. The only two kinds of cheese I'll have are mozzarella and gouda.
Wow.
Yeah. Sure. So no cheddar for you. No.
You're missing out on Emmentaler, are you saying?
I miss out on Emmentaler. I miss out on brie. I miss out on camembert. I miss out on parmesan. I miss out on all of that stuff.
All the smelly ones. So you aren't really missing out on much.
Oh, come on. Do you guys eat that shit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we're cultured.
Parmesan, I mean, how else are you going to have your spaghetti bolognese without a bit of Parmesan shavings on them?
Parmesan does kind of smell.
Well, I mean, I don't smell the cheese. I eat it.
Yeah, see, I know what you did.
It's in your face. You can't miss it. You see, but they did offer you food, Gareth, and the rest of the interview there?
No, it was great. And you know what? They actually, I mean, Bonnie is a sweetheart. I mean, she and I ended up having quite a nice conversation. She's really, yeah, she's just really very chilled and down to earth and totally not taken in. You know, she's done some amazing movies in her time, so she's no slouch.
In her time.
Yeah, well,
yeah, she has.
She's been around.
She has, and she looks amazing, and she's very together. She knows exactly what the entertainment industry is all about, and there's no fooling her. And Jeannie's delightful. You know, she's always kind of flirtatious with me, which I love, because we've actually had a couple of very, very fun party nights out together. So I kind of know her well enough. I think she thinks I'm wilder than I really am. And Danilo, who was on the show too, he's a very cool guy. I remember when he just started off in radio, he used to email me and ask me for, like, I suppose, advice, air checks. He would send me, and I hate doing that. So I'd always say to him, look, I don't really have anything to say, but I'll answer the questions. So I would answer the questions, because I hate criticizing other people doing radio. It's none of my business, but he's, you know, he's got a radio show and he's on TV. He's a smart guy too. He has interesting things to say. We got into a whole debate about philosophy and a bunch of other stuff. And Jeannie was just rolling her eyes. She thought it was the most boring thing she'd ever heard.
Well, Gareth, I actually got an example of how boring it really was.
Go on.
Oh, good fucks.
What are you doing there, Ben?
He's trying to play something funny.
What's going on?
Side note, can we get a new auxiliary cable in the studio?
Okay. He was trying to play.
What the hell?
He was trying to play something from his gadget.
I was trying to play you walling up all the vaginas in Cape Town with your organic chemistry.
Ensemble. Shut up, Ben. You know what? Here's what they do. They phone you up a week before. Okay, let me explain this. They phone you up a week before and they tell you that they want to do a fun insert, okay? So that you don't just sit there and get interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
because God forbid you should just be interviewed. I mean, that wouldn't be interesting enough. And maybe for some of their guests it isn't. But you have to create like some feature. And I thought, what do people know about me? What do people not know about me? Let me do something interesting and different. And I'm not going to go and climb Table Mountain. I'm not going to have them follow me around. It's going to irritate me. So let's do this. Let's play around with the periodic table and the elements. And yes, it is a vagina closer. I agree. But there it is.
I really thought that you were getting a round of applause, but it was actually just all the ladies just going, oh, no, that's it.
Ew. Three times done.
And then, you guys, look, I also got to share, Gareth. I'm not mocking you here, because I'm not taking you to task. But right at the end of the show, they turn to Gareth and say, so is anyone special? You got a Valentine's tomorrow? Gareth's like, oh, no, none of that. No. I mean, it was a prime example to look cheekily into the camera and say, well, recently I met a girl in Cape Town. And, well, we'll see where it goes tonight. And did you...
You know what? All you're doing is you're going to stop me from ever talking about these things again, because you're ruining it. That I bet you that girl was listening the other day, and now she's completely put off.
Oh, no.
Because I sent her a message on your recommendation and just said, hey, you know, I'll be in Cape Town, blah, 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 and no reply. So I think you've frightened her off by dragging her onto the air every time. Well, she doesn't even know it's her.
That message didn't even sound very inspiring, did it?
No, I mean, what else was he supposed to say, Ben?
I just think that Gareth needs to be like that little ginger kid in Love Actually and just give Love a chance. And look how it ended up for him.
You are so swift up in Love and Valentine's Day, Ben. I actually don't know how to do
that. That's what we are today.
Of course Ben is. He's the only one among us who's actually successfully made a relationship happen and last. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I gave Love a chance and look at me. I'm actually very, okay. Very grumpy in life.
All right, Romeo, just smile. Calm down there in the corner. Like,
okay, well, it is Valentine's Day today and we've got Victor Duplessis coming in the second hour. He's our lifestyle chef. So he's going to be telling you exactly what you can do to impress your significant other today if you're looking to do something in the kitchen. You know,
we've been inspired by Afternoon Express to have a chef on the show to cook shit for us.
Yeah, look, I don't think he's going to arrive here with pots, pans, and hot plates and stuff like that, but he'll be telling you a variety of things. We've also got a whole bunch of, Gareth's been working very, very hard on some other love things.
Well, let me tell you, Sia has also been working hard. We've got two games that Sia's got here, the movie quiz, Sia, where you guess the romantic movie, uh-huh. And a game of Never Have I Ever for Valentine's Day.
The entire team will be revealing their celebrity crushes. I've still got to find one. I am the worst at this game. It's actually weird. I mean, it's a complete fantasy laugh thing. But for some strange reason, I've taken this so seriously.
And we have our poems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Fabio's tips to love today, because it is Valentine's Day and, you know, Fabio is the master of love.
Well, not a lot of people know this, but Fabio has bedded more women in the world than any other human being ever.
Yes, wow. True.
So if you're going to take tips from someone, it's going to have to be Fabio.
He knows all about love. He knows all about sex. He knows all about how to please and pleasure and enthrall a woman. He's the most extraordinary man. So, I mean, who could you wish for that could know any more?
Mm. Yeah, so very good. If you want to get involved in the Valentine's cheer, you can WhatsApp us. The number is 079-748-2090. See, I've memorized it.
Oh, wow.
And then there's the WeChat, of course, messages. Let's look at a couple of messages now. Someone just said unprofessional shit. Some elderly gentleman. I think that's referring to my levels earlier. I do apologize. The mixing is playing a bit. And someone says, yo, Ben, that Black Mirror is a load of shit.
Oh,
wow. I haven't seen something so low budget in a while. I pushed through episode 3 purely because you raved about it. Please tell me it gets better. On a side note, how can I use your super brew knowledge to help me win in my pool? I lose $100 annually every year I try out the bottom. Every year I end up in the bottom 3.
Oh, yeah. That's hysterical.
Okay, Lee, there's a lot going on in this message, and I think you're wrong about Black Mirror. Low budget. It's so well shot, I think. Anyway, Superbrew, just listen to my show on Monday on Cliff Central, and everything will be okay.
Then haven't you realized people just love giving you shit? If you say something's nice, then people want to hate it.
I've watched 5 episodes now of this Black Mirror, and it's becoming the scariest show in the whole world, like I said, because it's just so true to what could happen or is happening, but we don't know about it.
I'll tell you something scary. Yesterday, I had to bring one of my books to Afternoon Express. I stopped at the airport exclusive books on my way through, and I went and bought my own book, which was probably one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
Did the cashier even notice? Did she look at you and go, mm-hmm?
Well, yeah, of course she did. She started laughing before I even got to the counter.
Oh, wow.
She's like, so I said, yeah, I'm buying it for a TV show, you know.
Yeah, you see, in awkward moments, we always feel the need to explain ourselves.
Yeah, always.
You know, now you need to flash it around the entire store trying to explain.
I was trying to find something else to buy as well, so it wouldn't look like I was totally self-serving buying my own book, because it's kind of ridiculous. And I couldn't find anything. There was not one magazine I was interested in, not one newspaper, not one book. And you know, the books, a lot of them, we've already spoken to the authors, I've already got the book. I'm not going to go and buy a copy of someone else's book. Sorry. And I found mine. There were only a few copies left, which is either a good sign, either they've sold out or nearly sold out, or they only ordered about 10. But it was very good. And then picked that up at the counter. But I was just desperate to get it into my bag as soon as possible. It's not that I'm embarrassed about the book. I'm proud of it, but you don't want to be seen buying your own book, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. But seeing as your face is emblazoned across the cover, it's not like it was quite subtle. It's very much you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
So, you know, when you write a book, how do you find out how well it's done?
The publisher usually is the only one who can tell you, because they know across the country how many have been sold, and they also know how many have been sold at Amazon, and they also know how many have been sold on Kindle and all that kind of thing. So it's a calculation only they can do.
But you know, like, so if you walk in your exclusive books, right, and there's 20 of Cliffhanger on the shelf, does that mean 20 have already sold, or does it only get counted once someone's got into exclusive books and bought it?
No, well, exclusive books will order a certain consignment of them, and then whatever they don't sell, they'll return to the publisher, and then it's the publisher's job to flog that stuff off at half price.
Ah,
nice cough, Mubs. That was really nice.
Yo, she's barely alive.
You know, I thought that I'd lay it on thick for Valentine's Day, extra juicy and saucy.
You know, you're so sexy when you cough like that. It's definitely the biggest turn on.
Yeah, well,
especially early in the morning.
There you go. That's what I strive for, Gareth.
You know how many men are desperate to taste your juice when you start making that sound?
Oh, I know it. It's my milkshake, and it brings all the boys to the yard.
Speaking of bringing boys to the yard, I've got some Valentine's stats here for Pornhub.
Of course.
I mean, let's be honest.
How romantic.
Valentine's Day is a mixture of emotions, right? There's me, happy I'm with someone in my life and look forward to seeing them, although she's not here on Valentine's Day again. Yeah, this work thing gets in the way. Or there's those that are like looking
to hook up. Don't breeze past that. How many Valentine's Days since you and Daniela were together have you actually spent together?
It's a difficult one. I don't know.
Were you together last year? Well,
we have so many special moments together that, you know, it's difficult to pinpoint just one.
So we are pinpointing Valentine's Day.
Even were you couldn't take yourself seriously.
Were you together last year? He's getting all choked up,
I
Gareth.
I think so. Yeah, I'm getting all choked up. I'm getting all choked up.
Oh my God. Will I make it through the show today?
So what I was saying was that Pornhub, obviously, there's a certain spike in certain traffic because for some people, Valentine's Day makes them feel extra sad about themselves.
So I haven't finished talking about you and Daniela yet, if you don't mind.
Just like trying to skim past it now.
Go ahead, Gareth.
So yeah, Gareth, I don't recall. I think this is the second one that we've missed between the two of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you've been together for how long?
4 years, April 7th.
Okay, so you've owned... Okay.
See, it's not a lot. I mean, it feels like an eternity, but it's only just like 4 years.
Half and half. You've been together for 2, you've missed 2.
She's missed my last 2 birthdays.
That's, Oh,
that's okay.
Orcs. Yeah, so what I was saying is, so there's obviously there's the myriad of emotions that go through Valentine's Day, and Pornhub will definitely be one of those sources for many people today. It's as simple as that, really.
Absolutely.
So yes. here's the subjects that spike during Valentine's Day, right? So this is obviously the UK, Wales, Scotland, that whole island, right? They do a lot of porn there. I mean, the weather's crappy, so what else do you do? Naughty swinger wife had an average 633% increase last year.
So
naughty swinger wife.
So basically, on nice. Valentine's Day, a lot of husbands have fantasies about their wife bringing in a third player into the mix.
Next highest spike in traffic is 518% up for Make Her Scream.
That should be a daily search, if you ask me. Make Her Scream. Every day.
The next up on 433% increase is Cupid. I'm not entirely sure what's they expecting out of Cupid. Body paint is the next big spike on 257%. Sauna, the one after that, 120% spike on Valentine's Day. And then homemade couples, 81% spike on usual search for homemade couples.
As opposed
What is a homemade couple? What is that all about? Yeah.
Homemade, those are homemade videos, right? It's not the professionally ones. With a director
Isn't that like a maid in a maid's outfit who does stuff?
It's MADE.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then as Mub says, it must be amateur porn.
Yeah,
it is amateur porn.
So 70% spike on Valentine's Day is romantic sex.
What the hell is romantic sex?
People go into Pornhub and type in romantic sex on Valentine's Day.
Crazy. Okay.
Next up is lace, strip poker, wedding. That's a strange increase one. Romance and lingerie, love, strawberry, kiss, date, flirt, boyfriend, chocolates. These are the lamest Pornhub entries ever, and they're all kind of spike over Valentine's Day when people get really soppy.
It just shows that we're nearly generalized, but a lot of people do want just love in their lives. It's just Valentine's Day is one of those days that really kind of can get you in the dumps, because actually I had this moment yesterday when I was trying to make plans with some of my friends. There's a friend of mine in town, so we were like, we should all gather. And everyone I was texting, they're like, no, I'm busy, or like, I'm up to something. Then someone actually had to break it down to me. They're like, Sia, like, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I'm like,
Sia, you're on your own.
Yeah. You know, I'm the single sad one all alone.
We don't have time for you, Sia. We've got partner things to do.
So, Sia, Heart of Darkness, what are you doing later?
It's not Heart of Darkness. I'm fine.
I didn't ask you how you were, so what are you doing?
Nothing. I'll just go home and I'll read a book.
Right. Okay. So I was going to get back to some messages here, but if you don't.
Gareth, are you laughing at me reading a book tonight?
Sia will watch some romantic movie and cry all on his own.
Shame. You probably will.
Actually, this is not when I genuinely mentioned that I started reading Cliffhanger over the weekend. So it will just be me and Cliffhanger tonight.
Well, there are some romantic things in there. Don't be so cold.
Okay. All right. Let's just make that a normal occurrence then.
Okay. So if you do have something special tonight you want to share with us, Lucas, can we do... Where are you?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jesus. Lucas blocked my shadow right now. Lucas, can we get phone calls in today? Skype, whatever?
No, we can't get Skype.
Okay, so messages. Okay, I cannot stress enough.
See, I'm on Skype, so you're going to have to WhatsApp or WeChat us, and then we can talk back to you.
Yeah, so any embarrassing stories, any plans, any big plans you've got you need some help with, don't worry. We're completely underqualified, but we over-deliver every single time. And you can share those with us throughout the morning. Just another quick look at the messages. Happy Valentine's Day, team. Ben, I just want to say that Gareth is a bit of a dinkus at the dating, flirting thing, and it's kind of cute in a Hugh Grant kind of way. A lot of girls might find it cute. Don't take it away from him, Anonymous. Because
yes, Ben, how dare you?
I'm not taking it away from you, Gareth. I'm just trying to hone you to this greater love being that you could be.
Well, these lot of girls should then present themselves. You should, you know, ladies, it's 2017. You can completely step up to Gareth Cliff and ask him out. And you're not going to be a grouch about it, Gareth, are you?
No, I'm going to be friendly and welcoming for about 5 seconds.
There
and then
you
I'll get
go.
All and then come.
Hit on him.
Right. Yeah. And how about you, actually? You, as the only woman on our show, you should be getting plenty of action.
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Right.
Well, let's just say that the dungeon won't be empty today.
There we go.
I like it.
That's all I will say.
Why, did you throw some fresh gruel down there this morning and you've got enough sustenance for later? Imagine Mubs goes into the dungeon with a bucket and just slops it down there.
My word. Sure.
Another message coming in from a female person. Again, there's no names here. Black Mirror is the shit. I have watched all three seasons and I wish there was more. Scary but thought-provoking stuff.
Okay, so you do have a fan or two on the Black Mirror front.
Damn right. So, Gareth, are you going to be there? Are you there for also like a bit of business, or what else are you there in Cape Town for? Was it just a show?
Yeah, no, I had a client meeting after Afternoon Express yesterday, and then I'm heading back after the show today.
Okay.
So it's very quick visit. Unfortunately, not much time for anything else.
Very good.
Do you want to hear how pretty it is here? I'm just looking through the window right now. I'll send you a picture. I am facing Devil's Peak. So I'm looking across the city at Devil's Peak, and the sun is coming up on the opposite side over the Stellenbosch Mountains. And I can see a few lights still flickering, but otherwise the place is already waking up. Believe it or not, Cape Town is waking up.
It's a bit early for them at 20 past six, isn't it?
But I know I saw one car in the street below just about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Are people quite smelly, you know, not being able to wash and all?
You know, it's a big thing down here. I mean, they were talking about water restrictions pretty much everywhere I went yesterday. And I felt so bad because I almost didn't want to like use the hotel shower. I thought, maybe I should be really, because I'm going to leave today and I can always use water up in Gauteng. They're going to be stuck without me. So I thought every drop I use is potentially some Cape Townian's stinky armpits not being able to be washed.
Oh, geez, that's a Valentine's thought for you.
But they're not smelly. They're all keeping, you know how Cape Town is. Everyone preens around. In fact, I saw so many people yesterday on the way back from Afternoon Express, so many people running on the roads and cycling and carrying on. So they're all busy doing, I suppose, physically demanding stuff, which is great because that's, you know, it's a well-known fact that people in Cape Town are much better looking than people anywhere else.
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely beat Witbank, for sure.
Yes, better looking than Witbank. But people here, yeah, they call this up to about March, they call it the season. And that's where all the models come out and they run around and they all look at each other and they ignore the rest of us Untermenschen and pretend that we don't. We're like orcs in Lord of the Rings and they're like elves.
Yeah, pretty much. Untermenschen.
They see Untermenschen. They see us and they go, oh, shame. Look at those people.
Yeah.
They're not perfectly proportioned.
And they're so ugly.
Yeah. So what monstrous trolls with their hunchbacks and their twisted spines and their ugly misshapen features and their revolting foreheads and their receding hairlines and their, you know, bad teeth and their knuckles being dragged behind them. And they go, oh, shame, you know, they'll never end up on the cover of every magazine like I have.
Yeah. And these are the female and male models saying this.
A whole lot of them.
All of them.
It's them. But I do feel like Cape Town is a place of contrasts because you have those and you've got like Bergies who are walking down the street who make even people like me look like we've really got our shit together. You know, the Bergies usually dragging a trolley behind them with one hand and a half empty bottle of something revolting in the other. You know, having a tough time. Just woke up but really could go back to sleep at any moment.
Well, Ashley agrees with you on that on the WeChat. Healthy people, those Cape Townians. Greg says, is Gareth meeting that chick in Cape Town? Sorry, Greg, we've already covered that. No. Carla says, just finished the third season of Black Mirror and it is amazing. Season 3 was taken over by US production companies, so higher budgets. And did you know that it's filmed here in South Africa?
Oh,
I did not.
Wow.
Greg's back with a question for Babali. Will your juice be tasted in the dungeon tonight?
So in a couple of minutes, we are going to, I'm going to bring you the news headlines. Yay. Exciting stuff. Yay.
Is this you also skimming past this?
Okay. Yes, okay, guys, I'm getting a message here from Lucas. He says that the audio levels are a little bit higher, so we need to fix all of that. So let's go to a song, Ben, and we can sort that out with Mubs' news headlines next.
Gareth, look, before we get to the news, there was just to set the mood, some roses are red, violets are blue kind of liners, and then we can go into the news.
All right.
Yeah. See, I was going to play an Al Jarreau song, but then, you know, that was yesterday. And then, anyway, so if you want to get some ideas for Valentine's Day, just a reminder, it is Valentine's Day. Let's get you in the mood with some really cheesy tweets of roses are red, violets are blue.
There's, all right. Roses are red, violets are blue. What turns me on? Human centipede too. Roses are red, violets are blue. They don't think it'd be like it is, but it do. Roses are red, violets are blue. I have a gun, get in the van. Roses are red, violets are blue. Da-ba-dee-ba-da-da-da-ba-dee. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm Liam Neeson, and I will find you. Your face is red, but now it's blue. I guess I should probably stop choking you. Roses are red. Love is bliss. Except when the hoe has syphilis. Flowers are colors. Love me. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Roses are red. You would look good in a flannel. This series should be on your main channel. I agree. Roses are red. Shampoo tastes bad. I hope you don't leave, just like my dad. Roses are gay. Violets are gay. Poems are gay. This is so gay. Roses are blue. Violets are red. Damn, I'm a horrible gardener. Roses are red. Violets are blue.
You don't like Christmas, you're probably a Jew.
Roses are green. Violets are greener. I think about you when I touch my wiener. Roses are red. You've got good looks. Audible has over 150,000 books. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Poems are hard. And I am too. Roses are red. Violets are red. Everything's red. There's blood everywhere. Oh God. Roses are red. I found one by a bridge. Get out of my face, Jack, and check your privilege. And finally, roses are red. Fedoras are blue. Eat some Doritos and drink Mountain Dew. John Stewart recently announced that he is leaving.
Hey, that's enough out of that. So, Mubs, blah, blah, blah. Palesa's in the studio. Good morning, Palesa. Yep, see us all happening here. Gareth, you still with us?
Do me a favor. Just you know that giant red slider on the far right of your mixing desk?
Yes.
Just pull that down a couple of degrees.
Okay. Done so. Now it feels very soft.
Yeah, then turn up your headphones because you're like out of control volume-wise.
Okay, just that on that little...
That's why Palesa sits there.
Okay, I thought she was just going to say hello to us. Yeah, but on that light gauge-y thing...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my first time, Gareth. It sounds fine to me. But obviously.
Okay, look to your right hand side. There are component racks. Do you see them?
Yeah, okay. I think that's what Palesa is actually doing. She's component racking. So while she component racks, a couple more messages very quickly before we get into my buddy's news. This one comes in from Carl saying, book dinner at a very nice restaurant. Our baby has the shits though and given it to both of us. So we'll be spending Valentine's Day wiping.
That's so not romantic.
I'm sorry.
Wiping. This past weekend, some girl from work was hitting on me. I had to tell her we can only be friends because really I was not interested.
Oh, okay, that's perfectly fine too. That's allowed.
I only wish it was my crush hitting on me. Yeah, that's the worst as well on Valentine's Day because I know it's the day of love and we all encourage each other to do things, but then it's like, ugh, no, because if you get hit on by someone else, then you're kind of getting cock blocked, right?
Mm.
Oh, right. Then you have to let someone down, then you feel horrible, and then most likely when you've let someone down, the person that you want doesn't want you.
It's like high school all over again.
Mm. Oh, man. It's a Taylor Swift song, basically.
Sounds like Sia's been here before.
I don't know what you're saying. I just, you know.
All right. Let's get into it. And the news brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They've spent 24 years perfecting the art of pizza making, constantly learning and adjusting to give you their unique slice of Italian-inspired deliciousness. Some things have changed here and there, but their goal has always been to produce the finest artisanal wood-fired pizza. Colcacchio Pizzeria,
They are the reason that you crave pizza. For more info, you can visit colcacchio.co.za. Here's Mabs.
Well, it was an interesting night for private investigator Paul O'Sullivan last night. Police eventually agreed to release him after they'd arrested him. This was after his lawyers brought a late-night high court application challenging the legality of his arrest. But they have warned that they may arrest him again. So, you know, he mustn't sit pretty just yet. O'Sullivan's legal team, which is led by AfriForum lawyer Willie Spies, they brought the application in the High Court in Pretoria following his arrest on Monday afternoon. Spies told the media that O'Sullivan's arrest was in contravention of a November 2016 court order in which police had agreed to give him 48 hours notice before arresting him. The order also said that police would allow O'Sullivan to hand himself over to the nearest police station if arrested. After an almost two-hour delay, proceedings began shortly before 11 p.m. last night, only for police lawyers to request an adjournment. And then after a few minutes, eventually O'Sullivan was released.
I saw Burning Tlemeza at the airport yesterday.
Oh?
He's as ugly and frightening in person as he is in newspaper photographs. Good Lord, what a terrifying looking man. And he's tall. He's a big imposing motherfucker as well.
Okay, so you just saw him there. There weren't any pleasantries exchanged or anything like that.
Oh, if I had to talk to him, it wouldn't be pleasant. It would be I just stayed the hell away. I mean, he's a horrible human being. Think about the things he's done. And the fact that the judges have declared him to be a liar and a fraud, and yet he's in charge of important offices of state. It's a disgrace that that guy even has a job.
Now, while all of this was happening, our acting police commissioner, Khomotso Phahlani, he was actually a guest of Justice Malala on the Justice Factor last night, where he appeared on the show. And, you know, he basically completely refused to discuss the details of O'Sullivan's arrest because, you know, the news started breaking before Justice went live on his show. So, you know, Justice, being the thorough professional that he is, was going to like try and get answers out of the acting police commissioner. But he refused to discuss the issue, saying, "I won't dignify people like Paul O'Sullivan by granting them airtime to discuss their issues." Now, a lot of people were saying that, this arrest by Paul O'Sullivan is so suspect. And what it does is it just makes Khomotso Phahlani look even more guiltier than what he really is. Well, you know, it really is concerning.
Do you know what bothers me about this is when you talk about people like that, when you say that during an interview, "I won't dignify this person with a response," what you're really saying is that you've got a personal issue with them. Because if it was just a matter of normal police business, you would say, "You know what, we're in the middle of an investigation, blah, 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 can't comment on that." But to say, "I won't dignify that person with a response," means that you've got a personal vendetta. You've got a personal issue, a gripe of a very particular nature with that person. And it to me indicates that the police are not objective when it comes to Paul O'Sullivan. Why? Because they've had egg on their face so many times because of this man that it's very, very difficult for them to come out of any conversation about Paul O'Sullivan looking good. He has embarrassed the police more times than they would care to mention. He knows things that the police don't even know about themselves. He seems to know who is talking to who. He has dirt on a lot of people, and he's bringing it all out there, which to my mind is doing the public a service. We have policemen and women in this country who are doing good work. And then we have policemen and women like that woman who grabbed Judith by the balls in Parliament the other day.
Yes.
I don't know if it was even her. But you know, the one who was taking way too much pleasure in smacking the EFF around during that very forceful eviction from Parliament. Those people are a problem to all of us. They're the kind of police people who take out violent, vitriolic and nasty action against ordinary citizens. They're the kind of police people who are one step away from an Andries Dadane moment or Americana moment or any other moment where police brutality is used against citizens. The police have a lot to answer for. And if this is your leadership and this is how they talk on the Justice Factor, then we must replace them also. They're goons. Let's call them what they are.
Yeah, there were quite a few people who were not very sympathetic to Julius because, you know, he tweeted that picture where he said that people were grabbing his private parts. And the verified official at SA Presidency Twitter account retweeted him saying, ha, ha, ha. And then they later retracted that and apologized. I mean
the, so if the presidency, you know, I think it was the South African government. I don't think it was the presidency that did that. The government have a general account as well on Twitter. I saw that. Someone sent me a screenshot of that, them going, ha, ha, ha. So what they're basically saying is that they like the idea of the police manhandling a citizen, not just a citizen in this case, but an elected member of parliament, been chosen by the people who voted for him to go to parliament on their behalf and represent them. And the government finds it funny that he's undergoing pain, essentially torture, at the hands of these goons. That's unacceptable. That shows you how far the state has gone up the president's backside in order to keep him happy. They think it's funny that a member of parliament should be abused.
Yep.
What will they think when Mabali Moloi gets arrested and thrown around in the back of a truck? Will they laugh about that as well? Will they laugh when Gareth Cliff gets tortured in jail? I wonder, will they laugh about you? You've got to ask these questions because it's not funny.
Now, if you need a reminder of what the connection is between Paul O'Sullivan and the acting police commissioner, O'Sullivan has been probing and investigating Khumutso Phahlani, right? He's been doing this along with the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, or IPID. And Phahlani has previously questioned that, has questioned O'Sullivan's involvement in the case. Last week, Phahlani filed court papers in the High Court in Pretoria demanding O'Sullivan's involvement in the investigation be declared unlawful. And then last night, O'Sullivan was suspiciously arrested. So there you go. Yep.
The police have got a lot to answer for. And as far as I'm concerned, if Paul O'Sullivan is just on a witch hunt, then the police shouldn't have anything to worry about if they've got nothing to hide, right?
Well, you would think.
If you have nothing to hide, then let Paul O'Sullivan investigate you. What's he going to find? If you're a good person and you've got nothing to hide... Nothing. Everybody's happy.
And then you've got this great sort of recommendation from someone who does know everything saying, no, these guys are cool.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's ridiculous. Anyway, look, we know what we're dealing with. I think it's patently obvious to everyone in South Africa, except to the president and his cronies, the Guptas, that we're all onto them. We know what they're doing. We know that what they say has nothing to do with the country and everything to do with protecting themselves and grabbing as much money as they can. So now we know what our enemy looks like.
Now, speaking of or staying on the topic of suspicious or questionable police behavior, yesterday I was telling you about those 10 houses that went up in flames over the weekend in Rosettenville, right? Because residents have apparently become sick and tired of the drug lords and, you know, the prostitution houses that are being run out of the neighborhood. Well, the Democratic Alliance have now asked IPID, who are known as a police watchdog, to probe the police's alleged involvement in crime in Rosettenville. There was growing evidence from residents about Rosettenville police officers being involved in crime. Locals say that drug and prostitution has been allowed to continue unabated because police officers are on the payroll of local criminals. And then, you know, you wonder why. Like, we all sit there shocked and horrified and surprised when residents finally decide to take the law into their own hands. And then you discover then from them that, oh, well, the police themselves are on the payroll of these drug lords. So what else are we supposed to do?
You see what I mean about the police being so rotten?
Yeah.
No, I mean, how can we, who do we know, who can we trust? Who do we know how to, how can we identify who the people are that we can deal with and the ones that are after us and are in cahoots with the criminals who are making our lives miserable? The people of Rosettenville tried to meet with Mayor Herman Mashaba the other day, and they were stopped. They were stopped by the ANC, effectively. So you've got to ask yourself why. And I'm starting to think that the remainder of the ANC that is clinging to whatever power it can in the metros of Johannesburg, Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay, even in Cape Town, those ones are allying themselves with whatever elements they can get support from, whether it's criminals, whether it's gangs, whether it's drug dealers. These are the kind of people that they're forced to make friends with because they've been voted out of power, and the people themselves have turned their backs on the ANC in those places. So obviously the ANC is going to make friends with whoever they can in order to maintain some kind of control. And if that means bad people, then so be it. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but it seems to me that it's come true, in, at least in Cape Town. I remember Helen Ziller's book. And in Johannesburg, it looks like they're in cahoots with people like drug dealers and Rosettenville. So you've got to ask, why?
Yes, so IPID, according to their spokesperson, Moses Dlamini, he confirmed yesterday that they have indeed received a letter from the DA requesting that an investigation now be launched into the police's involvement in crime, and they say that they are going to respond in due course.
All righty, should we get into some sport?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, Ben, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I've got lots of football again, Gareth. And Irvin Khoza addressed the media yesterday after that shit show of a pitch invasion. And as you would expect, he took no accountability for the club. He was talking about working with authorities to punish those who were falling foul of individual rules as far as violence. So just like Neil said yesterday, and if you didn't catch Neil Collins yesterday here on The Sport, go on to clipcentral.com and there's a podlet on what he had to say. And it was the same old. He's not taking any responsibility as a club because your fans are just like your players. If your players misbehave, it looks bad in the club. If your fans misbehave, exactly the same. But Irvin Khoza, ever the politician, is basically deflecting and saying they are going to, they are basically going to take full responsibility of bringing these guys to book rather than the club. So there was no mention of the club being fined points. There's no mention of the club being sort of to play their games behind closed doors. It was all about him trying to sound all heroic, saying, we will bust these perpetrators, which is absolute horseshit.
And nobody believes it, right?
Of course not. They say, oh, we're going to work with SABC and we're going to work with Mnet and we're going to bring these people to book who ran onto the field and, you know, use violence to vent their feelings. It was just classic political deflection, and it's not what this is all about. It's about teams being responsible for your, every element of what they're about. It's not just about this, oh, we'll take those wrongdoers down.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing, isn't it?
Well, what's even more disappointing is nothing will happen. They'll probably round up some usual suspects and say these people have been banned, they can't watch Pirates games anymore, and who can ever actually know if they are or they aren't? Yeah, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, well, look, if you're a Pirates fan and there are dwindling numbers of Pirates fans all over South Africa,
exactly,
you must be so disappointed. This is just a club that you love. You want to see great soccer. You don't care about this nefarious gang activity that controls the PSL. And we all know who the godfather is. And I don't think that it's a good thing. I think that there are people who are suckling on the teat of football in this country and have drained it to the point where it's just a flapping pancake of a titty. Exactly. And I just feel sad for real soccer fans. I don't care enough. So to me, it's not going to matter whether or not my team, and it seems my team is the only one that's well run, you know, Sundowns. But the rest of them, and really that is, as Neil said yesterday, because of Patrice's money. But Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs, these are the two, in historical terms, greatest teams in South Africa. And they've been laid to waste by these management officials and administrators and basically these godfathers at the top of the hierarchy. It's very sad.
Yeah, look, some can argue the other side of the coin, saying if it wasn't for guys like Irvin Khoza, the PSL would never reach the heights that it did. But then again, it's like the heights are self-serving. It's not like there's everyone in that team is making good money. I mean, the PSL, it's well known that you could either be driving an X5 to training or you could literally be on a bike, a pedal bike. It's like it's not like the money filters down. It's like everyone's going, wow, I'm so happy to be playing in the PSL. This is really world class. Like, it's not. It's just not. So that's a bit disappointing. And also, next Monday, we'll get more information around the next coach of Pirates. Apparently, it's the person they want and available in May. So they have to try to renegotiate, look elsewhere. So that will be clearer to us next Monday. So last night, Man City announced themselves as probably the only slight chance title contenders along with Chelsea. They beat Bournemouth 2-0, so they are now 8 points back, and they're officially into second place. Also last night, No, sorry, tonight we'll see some Champions League action. But first, let's have a look at the PSL. So Chippa will take on Sundown. Sundown still have some games to catch up on, so they'll be playing tonight, 7:30. And then Wednesday, tomorrow, we'll see Pirates after that 6-0 hammering. They're going to be taking on Fitz, which is going to be just as difficult. And then Free State Stars versus Supersport United. Those games tomorrow at 7:30. But tonight, Benfica versus Dortmund. That's your first Champions League match to look out for. 9:45 will be all the games this week. PSG then take on Barcelona in the pick of the fixtures tonight. And then tomorrow, Bayern versus Arsenal. This is where Arsenal bows out. And then Real Madrid versus Napoli. And you think Napoli would also bow out, but they haven't lost in the Serie A since October. So they're pretty strong right now. Yeah. That's all of
all right,
football.
Very good.
And crickets, the Proteas are in New Zealand right now. They arrived yesterday, and they'll be there for a long time, Gareth, a very, very long time. So the first game will be on the 17th of February, and that will be 8 o'clock South African time in the morning. That'll be the T20, the one-off T20 match. And then they're going to play 5 ODIs. Now, 4 of the 5 are going to be day-night games, and those games will start at 3 in the morning SA time. And then the one-day game will start at midnight. So 19th of Feb, that'll be the first ODI. 22nd of Feb will be the second. That'll be the one-day game. 25th of Feb is the third. 1st of March is the fourth one. And 4th of March is the fifth one. And then we've got three test matches. So 7th of March, 15th of March, and 24th of March. They'll be played in Village Greens, where literally the crowd is a man and a dog. And a couple of people who didn't go to university that day. Joe Root, who basically is the male version of Ellen DeGeneres, will be the new captain of England.
Explain how that correlation comes into play.
Well, no one's ever seen Ellen DeGeneres or Joe Root in the same room.
Oh.
Never. Hasn't happened once.
Oh.
So
they look the same.
Completely, yeah. So Joe Root will be the new captain of the English Test team, taking over from Alistair Cook, who just had too many losses. It's a performance game in the end. England do have some great young talents coming through, and of course they weren't allowed to make a ginger a captain, so Bairstow and Stokes couldn't. Yeah, there's the rules, yeah. I don't make them, I just report on them. That's pretty much it for the sport. Not a whole bunch going on. And rugby news, well, a little story there that they might be reducing Super Rugby from 18 teams to 16 teams.
No, but they just were making a fuss a whole 2 years ago about expanding it to 18 teams.
Well, Gareth, they want to, because that's, you know, they just want to keep raping this golden goose as much as they can. But they realize that once this, you know, I think sanity may just prevail there. So, Lucas, I'm sorry, I cannot read things while I'm trying to talk. I know multitasking.
All right, let me explain. I'll explain what it is. I've got to get hold of Anthea on Skype. This is going to be a very complicated technical feat, but we can pull it off. So you don't have to worry about Anthea on your side. I will get her over here.
Great. Should we hear some love knowledge from Fabio while you do that?
Yes, good idea.
Yeah, so just to wrap up on the Super Rugby there, it could be down to 16 teams, which means one of our cuck teams, the Kings, and one of Aussie's cuck teams, take your pick, will be kind of thrown out, and then it'll be down to 16 teams, which might make the conference division thing a lot easier. I'm not promising this to you, but I'm really hoping it can actually come this way, because it's just too much. It's just too much. Oh, and the Stormers had some injuries, but we'll get about some other time.
Oh.
Right, so while Gareth... sorry.
Oh, Jesus, Ben.
While Gareth sorts out online with Anthea, here's Fabio, the first of his installments for today, because it's Valentine's Day.
You don't like it when your man shouts at you. It makes you to feel uncomfortable and sad. Men, you don't like it when she shouts at you with her high-pitched, screaming, banshee voice either.
I am Fabio.
I have a tip, and this is my tip.
To love.
Never, ever shout at your partner.
I know you don't like
unless
it.
The house
when
is on fire.
A man shout at you.
Or the condom come off inside the woman. I am Fabio, and that is my tip to love.
Right, so Fabio, unfortunately, speaking in sexual tongues there, but we'll get back to a slightly more succinct version of his tips for love, and there's a love tips that you can have all day today. We've got Victor Duplessis as our guest today. He'll be coming in the second hour, and he is a lifestyle chef. So, Mabs, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for a man to kind of know what he's doing in the kitchen?
10.
10?
Mm. I know what I'm doing in the kitchen. I expect the same from him.
Okay, Sia, would that be the same for you? It would be a 10?
Oh, goodness. Kitchen isn't important. Other rooms in the house are important.
Cutting straight to it, Hesia. So if you want to create an impression today, then the second hour is going to be just the thing for you. And it doesn't have to be one of those really lavish, expensive things where you have to go out and buy langoustines and the French champagne. I mean, look, that could be an angle. That could be the crowd you're dealing with. But it could also be just something that's heartfelt, something that's kind of done between the two of you.
Just melt some chocolate and have some chicken wings as well.
I hope you're not melting the chocolate on the wings.
Listen, you lot, we've got things to do. Come on, we've got to get to Anthea.
All right, we're waiting for you.
Okay.
All right, Anthea, good morning. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, Gareth. I can indeed.
Excellent. So another good day on the JSE yesterday.
Yeah, we were up another 0.5% yesterday. Things are going very well. Volume was a bit below average, so I don't know what's going on there. Rand was slightly stronger, 13.34 to the dollar, which pretty much kept industrial shares in check. But at least retailers and financial shares did well. Diversified miners again outperforming. Kumba was up another 6.5% yesterday. This is after Friday's, 6%? So that's, 12.5% in 2 days. Really good. And then Assore was up almost 6% as well yesterday. And even Impala Platinum was up 2.5%. Now, this is a surprise. I say even Impala Platinum, because they put out a relatively poor trading statement yesterday. They're looking for a headline loss of between 65 and 79 cents per share. And the reasons they cited were decreased profitability was a tax credit and also the sale of their chrome business. You know, so these trading updates don't give us in-depth information, but we'll have to wait and see it resolved. But it doesn't sound good, really. Okay. And then surprisingly, PPC was up 4%, but they've started talks, or restarted, I should say, talks with AfriSam regarding some sort of merger that they're going to do there. And that's a share that's run quite hard. You know, it came down in 2014 from, it was about a 35 rand share, I'm going to guess now, 35 rand share. It's now about a 6 rand share, and they've just had nothing but trouble kind of since Ketso Gordon resigned in 2014. It's all gone downhill for them. But then saying in the construction sector, Avenge fell sharply yesterday after releasing a trading update saying that they would also print a loss of about 73 cents a share. And for Avenge there, it looks like the Australian business is still a drain on, because the Australian business, in fact, is still cash flow negative, which is never a good thing.
No, hell no. All right, one or two other things that I wanted to know about. You mentioned to me PPC. Something's happening there?
Well, that's the business I was talking about with doing the merger with AfriSam.
And that's the Ketso Gordon thing, sorry.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not as clued up as I sometimes pretend to be.
At least you try.
Sometimes I'm not sure who these CEOs are. I have to figure it out for some of these companies.
Yeah. But I do have some news on CAP. So they're the diversified logistics and chemical business. The reason you'll probably know them is because they're partly owned by Steinhoff, and they have the bedding business in South Africa. They released results yesterday that beat the market. Revenue was up 10% to 9 billion rand for the 6 months. Operating profit up 24%, considering revenue was up only 10%, which means really that they've got a good grip on operating margins. You know, they're managing to keep costs low. I mentioned it before, but I really can't. Excuse me, today's not a good day.
Between you and Ben and Mubs, it's cough central. Forget Clifton.
I hope I didn't catch something yesterday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry if you did. Sorry if you did.
All right, we'll deal with it. So I was saying that CAP, you know, their biggest shareholder is Steinhoff. And there's a lot of speculation going on at the moment about the US-acquired business Mattress Firm and the fact that they canceled their contract with Sealy, and that CAP is, even though it's a small part of their business, they are a mattress-producing firm. And hopefully Steinhoff will be able to consolidate operations and do something with CAP. You know, it's such a great thing. Like, when you think of the mattress business, you think of it's selling air effectively, aren't they? They're selling you a few springs, a piece of material, and air. So really, just a good business model.
Yeah.
And then global markets, just very briefly, continue to climb. The S&P 500 hit $20 trillion in market capitalization yesterday for the first time ever. I don't know what it is there. I know that Janet Yellen is speaking this week, and we've already spoken about Trump and his phenomenal tax reforms that he's planning. But this market just keeps going higher. It really does. And then just also briefly, there's talks in the market that China's Dalian Wonder Group, which is owned by Wang Jianling, I hope I've got that right. He's the richest man in China. So this Dalian Wonder Group is looking to buy a European bank, apparently. So Wang Jianling is the largest property developer in China. He also is the owner of the world's largest movie theater operator, and for some bizarre reason owns 20% of Atletico Madrid. And I guess it looks like world domination is on his to-do list for this morning. It didn't really help European banking stocks, though. The sector kind of underperformed while the rest of the market traded higher. And then Asia's a bit mixed this morning. But again, I think it's just that everyone's waiting. There's a lot of data in the US coming out later today. And I think Janet Yellen speaks either today or tomorrow. And they didn't raise interest rates the last time. So I think people are going to be wondering if she's going to give us a clue as to when they are going to raise interest rates. I think it's no longer a case of if they will. It's a case of when they'll raise interest rates in the US.
All right. So that's bad. That's bad news for us, though.
Yeah, for our rand at least. If we don't raise interest rates, it is bad news. But this rand has been incredibly strong, 13.34 and holding steady. Amazing. So we've got some room to play, I think.
All right. I read an interesting article yesterday, an analysis that was done. South Africa is actually quite resilient when it comes to ups and downs in our economy. The rand seems to be holding its ground lately. It used to be affected very, very badly. But in the last couple of weeks, people are saying it's almost managed to build up a resistance to political nonsense. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. So in my opinion, it's just so much less volatile. And I'll draw that, then I can easily pick up numbers on volatility. But I'll have a look later today and we'll talk about it again tomorrow. Because it seems as if previously the rand, you know, last year when we were talking, it's all over the place. Like somebody just had to say something and the rand would blow out. This year, in fact, even the last few months, nothing. The rand just stays steady, 1334, 1340, going nowhere, which is fine, of course. But you know, Gareth, and this is the interesting thing about managing clients' money, is that when the rand does blow out, when we have a nene gate and it goes to 16, that's when my clients rush to get money offshore. The irony, of course, is that when the rand is strong like now is when you should be taking money offshore.
Right.
And I can't say more on that. That's about it, you know.
Yeah.
So
if
you want to take money offshore, I'd say now's the time.
Very, very good. Thanks for all of that info, Anthea. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Super. Thank you very much.
Very good. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets this morning. And we've got plenty more to come. So there's going to be an opportunity for everybody to share our Valentine's thoughts, ideas, poems, celebrity crushes, all the rest of it. And you can join us right here. Ben is in the studio with Mubs and with Sia. And I am in Cape Town, back a little bit later today.
Indeed, Gareth. So we're going to wrap up the first hour with a bit of Fabio. We'll do it properly this time. And then, yeah, we'll catch you and our guest back in the second hour after this. Cliffcentral.com.